no sante lelelelelelelele. Oh Father, we give you praise, we give you praise, we give you praise. Shelelelelelo satana la bayana. Oh, come and let your worship rise to him this evening. Wherever you are, just let your worship rise. Don't think about the things you've been through today or throughout the week. Just let your praises rise. Just adore him. Adore your Father. Oh, come on, you can just sing in other tongues. Oh, shatalavane la bakosita ne manana yelelelele. Malanelo sita ne vale la banano sonono ivana yana. Oh, we worship you, Jesus. And who is like you, Lord? All the earth, matchless love and beauty, endless worth. Nothing in this world can satisfy. Jesus, you're the cup that won't run dry. Oh, come and let it rise this evening. Ha. Who is like you, Lord, in all the earth? Matchless love and beauty, endless worth. Nothing in this world could satisfy. Jesus, you're the cup. Let's take it one more time. Who is like you, Lord, in all the earth? Matchless love, endless word. Seeing nothing in this world can satisfy that deep hunger in me. Oh, Jesus, you're the cup that runs. Sing your presence. Your presence. It is heaven, it's heaven. Oh, hallelujah. Your presence is heaven to me. Shela bana lela no sandele. It is heaven to me. Jesus, your presence, precious Holy Ghost, your presence is heaven to me. Salamate legabala ya sutande la 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 basu. Your presence, Lord, it is heaven, heaven to me. Yeah. Oh, shelele lo satande. Your presence is heaven to me. Your presence, it is heaven to us, Lord. Sheka manela, ela manaso na mayane. Your presence, Jesus, it is heaven to us. Yeah. Oh, come and let your praises rise. It is heaven to us, Lord. It is heaven to us, Lord. Oh, kenamano sotele manana ya. Your presence living in us, dwelling with us. Your presence, it is heaven. It is heaven to us, to us. How we love your presence. How we bask in the glory of your presence. Shena bayanela. Shena bayanela. Oh, come and let your worship rise. Just acknowledge who He is to you. Oh, mane kasuta labaya. We thank you for your presence in us. We thank you for your Holy Spirit, who's guiding us, who's teaching us, who's showing us the way. It is heaven to us. Kenabanosa, kenabanosa, elemano. Oh, we love that presence. We love that presence. Shata la ba ke na manela ba ya. Oh la manela le le le. Oh shata la ma ke na ba ya ne usabina nilana. Your presence is heaven to me, Lord. Yeah. To me, Lord. It is heaven. Yeah. Shata la ma le le le. Come and just bask in the atmosphere. Oh, Father, your presence is heaven to us. Shelabaya, henosono, yekina banana, ya. Oh, come on, come on, come on. Let it rise within you. Let it rise within you. Your presence. This is heavenly, Lord. Your presence. It is heaven to me. Oh, 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 your presence. Shetelelelelelo satanda la bayana is heaven to me. Your presence is heaven. Come and let it rise. It is heaven. It is heaven to me, Lord. Shatenaya, it is heaven to me. Oh, your presence, it's everlasting peace, Lord. Your presence is heaven to me. Shatalabayele. Come and sing it one more time. Your presence is heaven to me. Oh, come on, just sing it out. Sing it out. Your presence is heaven. Is heaven. Is heaven to me. Your presence is heaven to me, Lord. Your presence is heaven to me. How we love your presence. How we love your presence. Your presence is heaven.
Can we lift our hands to Him? Father, we thank you. We thank you. We honor you and praise you. We honor you and praise you. We honor you and we praise you. Thank you for all that you have given unto us. Thank you for all that we are. Thank you. Thank you. We give you glory and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, please be seated for those of you here and then. Welcome for those of you listening in. I trust that it's getting clearer, you know, and clearer. So we'll move further tonight, still in the beat to establish in our hearts that clear will of God, that very clear mind of God, so that establishing it in our hearts so that we're settled with the revelation. So we'll just go straight to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians and chapter 1. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So I might use the New King James most of the time. Might. Glory to God. All right, so are you ready? Ephesians 1, are you there? Okay. So last Wednesday, I said we're going to do quite some reading. Eventually, we didn't. I seem to have gotten stuck on certain points, but I believe that every one of us was blessed nonetheless. So we'll pick it up again. And so we'll read together from Ephesians 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints that are where? In Ephesus. Anybody notice that? To this man, neither is it the confirmation of a church. Being a saint is the reality of who you are in Christ. So those who are called saints are because they've been sanctified. And to be sanctified means to be separated. Basically, you're made righteous and holy. I want to say we'll get there, but we're there because it's a major part of your identity. There's this language you might have grown up with. You know, I say nobody is a saint. So what you're trying to say is that nobody, you know, is flawless. And that's the truth. Nobody is mature. All right? Nobody is mature. So there's still certain levels of imperfection in behaviors and conduct and all of that. So that's behavior. It's separate from nature. Sainthood here. The classic example we usually use is the Corinthian church, for instance. The same way Paul said here to the saints in Ephesus, he also talked about them being saints in Corinth. And by the third chapter, he said that they were baby Christians. They were carnal because there was envy and strife, you know, and malice amongst them. But he said they were saints. Now he says that they were behaving very childish, meaning he was talking about their spiritual position. And then he later was addressing their behavior. Who's getting what I'm saying? There's a spiritual position. This is who you are. Then there is a behavior. For instance, someone might be in secondary school, but still acting like a child in primary school. He's not in primary school. He's only acting like someone in primary school. You don't say he's in primary school because he's not. So you start with who he is. He is in secondary school. You acknowledge the level he is at. But then you are now addressing his behavior by saying, why are you behaving like somebody in primary school? You understand that? So maybe a married guy who is still acting like a single guy, moving around like a single guy, you know, coming home late or whatever, just being like, he's not single. He's married. So you're addressing him and you start by talking about who he is. You are married. You know, you don't change the fact. That's a fact. You're married. But then you get to your chapter 3 of talking to him. You now say, so why are you behaving like this? So what most believers are judged with and what we usually judge ourselves by is our behavior, not our nature. But we're saying you have to look at what? The nature, and use the nature to point the person. Or, you know, you talk to the person and say, see the behavior. It does not line up with your nature. So you... Are you getting what I'm saying? All right. You say, see your behavior. It doesn't line up with the nature. You do not deny the nature because of the behavior. Okay, for instance, now from Ephesians chapter 2, we've said for the last 2 weeks, from verse 1, it says, you who were dead, now you are alive. So, Bible says you're alive. Now, but you feel dead. You don't feel like God speaks. You don't feel like you hear from God. You feel dry and out, and you, in fact, you feel dead. You don't describe yourself by how you feel. You describe yourself by what the word says. It's in acknowledging the word of God that you begin to experience what the word said. Say acknowledge. Please say it. Say acknowledge. You've got to acknowledge who you are. We'll get there. All right. Now I can say we'll get there. All right. I've said a bit about it. So once again, it says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to who? Come on, to who? To the saints who are where? Where is Ephesus? In heaven or on earth? All right. So that means they are saints in human places. All right. They are saints everywhere. All right. And faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from
our Lord Jesus Christ, or the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 3, blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places. Where? Where? Where are the, or where is the blessing, or where do you have every blessing? Where? 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 So where are you? In Ijebu? 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man be where? Say, my location is in Christ. Say, my location is where? Say it again. Say, my location is in Christ. My location is in Christ. If you're looking for me, that's where to find me. You know the devil knows that's where you are? God knows that's where you are. The angels know that's where you are. The demons know that's where you are. But the devil will keep trying you because he knows you're not sure if that's where you are. So my people are destroyed because of lack of knowledge. So you've got to know, this is where I am. This is who I am. This is where I am. I'm not going to move an inch. This is where I am. Say, I know my place. Say it again. Say, I know my place. Glory to God. So for the next few minutes, we're going to do really now some reading. But I just want to lay a bit of that foundation again. So say, Christ is my location. Say, Christ is my identity. If any man be where? If any man be where? If any man be where? All right. Now, the Bible is a story of two men. Now, there are different things we say about the Bible. All right. But in this context I'm dealing with, the Bible is a story of two men. Two men. Two men. Two men. 1 Corinthians 15. We'll come back to Ephesians. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So we'll just pick it straight from, should we do 45? All right, yeah, 45. Just do 45 straight. 1 Corinthians 15:45. It says to us here that, and so it was written, 1 Corinthians 15:45. And so it was written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. The Bible is a story of two men. The Bible is a story of two Adams. You could understand very many things in the Bible. If you miss this point, you've missed a lot of things about the Bible. I want you to understand this. The Bible is a story of two men. We could also basically say that the Bible is a story about God and his family. Because what God did in Genesis was to get for himself a family. What happened in Genesis chapter 3 was that he lost his family. What he spent all of the time doing until the blood of Jesus was finally shed was a process of gaining back his family. So that's the Bible. Some people pick it up and say, oh, the Bible is a story about sin. Sin entered in the beginning and sin was judged at the end. If that's what you're looking for, that's what you will find. Did you hear what I said? If all you do is to study the Bible from the concept of sin, you know, God created man, everything was fine, then sin came. Then sin spoiled everything. Then Jesus had to come and suffer because of sin. Now sin has gone. Hallelujah. Yes, it's correct. But what did the sin disrupt? It disrupted the idea of a family. Revelation tells us that God has created all things for his pleasure. So it lets us know that creation was for God's pleasure. In Genesis chapter 1, everything God created, Bible says, and this he created, and it was good, and this was good. And so the things were thrilling to him. And like a man preparing to marry a wife and bring her into a settled home, God ensured that everything man would need for his existence and for his comfort was available before man showed up. Please understand that. So it's like a young man who's, you know, courting a lady and has fixed the date for the wedding. Obviously, he would like to get an apartment. Do you understand what I'm saying? All things being equal, he furnishes the apartment. All things ideally be, you understand, he gets, so the last person to walk into the house should be the woman. Because he's made all things ready. And then Jesus himself told us, you know, about the man who made a feast and told his servants, go out, go invite the people, telling them, come, because all things already. So God prepared everything. The last one to walk in was man. So all of the things were created because of man. Man was a final piece. Man was a final piece. That's why when you chase the things in the world and leave or give less attention to God, it doesn't make sense to him. He said in, you know, Matthew chapter 6, after those kinds of things do the Gentiles seek. God created all things. God gives the power to get wealth. But in order to get wealth, we chase other things and forget about God. But God says, I give this thing. Do you understand that? I mean, in Adam's backyard, there were four rivers. One of them had gold. The man didn't lack food. He didn't have to think of food. The fact that you now have to sweat to eat is an effect of the curse. Is an effect of sin. But the context is not sin. Before sin, at least, we see from the point where Adam and Eve, you know, had disobeyed God and then they had to hide themselves when they heard the voice of God walking in the garden. You know, Bible said the voice of, dear Lord. So we see that instance. So it allows us to give a wonderful conclusion that that's not the first time God would have had to come and check them out. Imagine God coming to knock on your door and say, hello, how are you doing today? What a wonderful relationship. What a wonderful time they must have had. Something messed it up. Disobedience. So you could focus too much on the disobedience and you miss the fact. I said some time ago, I said, if everything you pray about are just about needs and problems and needs, you really don't have a prayer life. Because when all those needs are met, what would you talk to God about? So when God and Adam fellowshipped in the cool of the day and when there was no problem, what were they talking about? That means God has stuff to talk to us about that don't have to do with needs and problems. You know, because sometimes when I talk about prayer and say knowledge is more important than prayer, some could say, well, prayer is not even important. I've never said so. I can't say so. Because you should pray. But I'm saying it's not about the things you itemize problematically and call prayer. Many things you have on those lists of the things you call prayer, your knowledge of God's word will knock half of them out, if not all of them. You would hardly, you can never catch me say to God, God, you promised to heal me. Because healing is not a promise. He didn't say, by his wounds, I will heal you. He said, by his wounds, you have been healed. It means it has been done. So I've never had to tell God, you promised. And the language promise, you know, comes from everything we know. We pick the Bible and say, oh God, these are your promises. Some of them are not promises. Most of them are fulfillments. So you don't call a promise, you don't call a thing fulfilled a promise. So someone says, oh, he's put X amount of money in your bank account. You don't go to the person and say, you promised to give me money. He didn't promise you money. He has given you money. Anybody getting this? So you going to God is not... So those list of things you call problems, I want to pray. I must pray about, check the things you're praying for. Check them in the light of the scriptures, New Testament I refer to now. And you check, you realize that majority of those things have been taken care of. Taken care of. So you could now spend 90% of the time just praying in tongues and thanking God. Because you know, the more you pray in the spirit, the more sensitive you are to access the things that are already made available for you. Oh God, I must be rich. Whose idea was it for you to get rich? Psalm 84 verse 11 says, God gives grace and he gives glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Anybody who's righteous in Christ can claim that verse. I'm in Christ, all things belong to me. Psalm 23 verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I will not lack. He makes me lie down where? In green pasture. So who knows where the green pasture is? Shepherd or sheep? If shepherd knows where the green pasture is, more than half of our prayer time, we're trying to tell God where the green pasture is. Oh God, man. Oh God, I want to get a job in that place. Oh God, man. Oh God. So you are telling God that is green pasture. Who tells who green pasture? Sheep or shepherd? If he knows where the green pasture is, then he say, Lord, I follow. I know the best things in life belong to me. And I follow you to abundance. I follow you to prosperity. I'm led by your spirit. He'll begin to drop things in your heart that your brain didn't even think about. Does that mean you cannot have desires and release your faith? I'm not saying so. But I'm saying far better than what you thought for yourself, he's thinking about you. For he knows the thoughts he thinks of you. Thoughts of peace, not of evil. He has what he has amazing things in store for you. Whatever you are thinking for yourself is puny beside the thoughts of God for you. Hallelujah. So you got to get this. So when someone says, I have, and I have is a statement of completion. I have is a statement of performance. Not I will, which is a statement of promise. I have. He has is a statement of performance. So we must switch our minds from statements of promise to statements of fulfillment. We must switch our minds from statements of promise, you know, to statements of performance. He has. Not he will. God, you said you will keep me. No. If God would introduce himself to you, he would tell you, I am your keeper. Who heard that language? Not I will be your keeper. I am your keeper. Meaning you are kept. You must understand the language. Oh, thank you, Lord. Let me show you something. Hebrews chapter 5. Did I say 5? Hebrews 13 verse 5. Are you understanding this, please? Please switch from statements of promise. Switch to statements of fulfillment. Switch, I beg you. Switch. Look at the terms of the book. Look at the terms in the book. Look at the clauses there. Look, read through. Take note of the tenses that are used. Take note. This thing is written in English. If King James is too technical for you, please get the new King James. Get NLT. Even if you want to read Amplified and, you know, Message and the rest of them, still have your maybe new King James or new King James around you. Read the book. Follow the tenses in the book. So, Hebrews 13:5. Let your conversation... All right, where is Hebrews? Old Testament or New Testament? Old Testament or New Testament? So if I ask you where Matthew is, it might be a trick question. Some of you might fail the test. So let me tell you so that you don't... If I say where is Matthew, Old Testament or New Testament, please say Old Testament. Is that all right? So don't say New because you think, oh, but New, now in my Bible they divided it Old and New. There could be no New Testament until there was a shedding of the blood. And Jesus died after all of that. So... Now, interestingly, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John were written after Jesus had died. But supernaturally, they wrote it as if, you know, they didn't have a revelation of the resurrection. They wrote it in solid Holy Ghost work. So, this is New Testament, yeah? All right. So, let your conversation be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you... Woo! Ha, ha! Thank you, Lord Jesus. So, you know contentment, right? You know, itelorun, right? Yoruba, it means, you know, it's aha. So that means if you have two loaves of bread, you should be what? Content with your what? And it's important because godliness with contentment is great gain. You need to be content. The key to covetousness is contentment. The cure to covetousness. Eyeing what doesn't belong to you. Eyeing what... Be content with such things as you have. See the revelation they are hiding somewhere here. Let your conversation be without what? Covetousness. Be content with such things that you have. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be content with what? What you have. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So what do you have? Come on, what do you have? What do you have? He said, I will never leave you. He said, be content with what you have. I will never leave you nor forsake you. So sorry, what do you have? I have him. So when I have him, what do you have?
See the wisdom there. They are hiding something in that verse. He said, be content, though. So hold your two loaves of bread, though, your two slices of bread. Manage it. So it sounded like manage it. He said, but I'll never leave you. Ah. The person said, I'll never leave you. Is El Shaddai. He said, be content. El Shaddai is with me. I don't have two loaves of bread. Come on. They had five loaves and two fishes to feed a multitude. They said, Master, what is this among so many? Jesus said, sit down. Tell them to sit down. Why? Because I am here. Meaning the five loaves and two fishes cannot remain five loaves and two fishes. So when I'm being content, it's in the reality of what he has made me to be. It's in the reality of who I am to him. It's in the reality of who he is to me. When I have that revelation, I'll be satisfied. Because if I don't see it in my life today, it's just a matter of time. Because I have it all in him. So I am actually content. I don't need your stuff. No wonder Abraham could say to the king of Sodom, I have lifted up my hands to God. So nobody will say I made Abraham rich. Who did he lift his hands up to? El Elyon, the Most High God. Because when Melchizedek met him, Melchizedek said, blessed be Abraham of the Most High God. When you lift your hands to the Most High, you know, I'm connected. Shut all your doors, I'm connected. To who? The Most High. Anyway, let's stay here. So he said, I will never leave you, nor what? Forsake you. New Testament or Old Testament? New Testament or Old Testament? So he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, meaning I am always with you. Is that a promise? It sounds promissory, but look at it. I'm always with you. I'm always with you. So the assurance is I won't leave you, but the core context is I am always with you. So if I'm always with you, it means I'm not going anywhere. So you don't tell God, don't leave me. Why? He's always with you. You don't tell God, if your presence will not go with us. So we go to Moses, borrow a language from Moses, and say, if you will not go with us, we will not leave this place. Then you use Moses' language to talk in the New Testament. It doesn't apply. It doesn't apply. The believer does not ask God for his presence. The believer has the presence of God. There are other ways I could explain this thing. I'm trying to make it simple. You don't ask for the presence. You have the presence. It's always with you. Oh, but I don't feel it. We walk by faith, not by sight. Say, I have the presence of God. Because you come to church and say, oh, we had a wonderful time in his presence. Which of all the presences? So I understand what we're saying, which is a corporate presence. But for some people, that was the presence. You enter a room, you knelt down, you prayed. Oh, I had a wonderful time in his presence. That is not... You and him are inseparable. Did you hear that? When you think from that point of view, it changes the prayer point. God is always with you. So look at the language. He said, for I will never leave you nor forsake you. He said, right? Verse 6, what does verse 6 say? So hold on. That means when he says something, what do you do back? You got to get this. Well, God said it, did he turn into prayer? The Lord said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Therefore, we say, oh God, you know you said. You know, no. Oh, this is heavy. Good stuff. He said, so that what? So when you find what he says, what do you say? You say it back. But you know how he talked? He didn't speak back verbatim. He applied it. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, so I can boldly say he is my helper. Why? Because if he's with me, what's he doing beside me? Come on, somebody. What's he doing? Helping me. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. So when you find what he said, you say, huh? By his wounds, you have been healed. What do you respond with? I'm healed from the top of my head. So he said, but Bible did not write top of my head to the top of my head. Bible did not write here, he's my helper. Come on, somebody. Did the Bible write? He didn't say, I am your helper. He said, I will never leave you, nor forsake you. I can as well add, therefore I will never lack. Come on, somebody. The Ark of the Covenant in the house of Obed-Edom gave Obed-Edom prosperity. That means when God is somewhere, there's prosperity. When God is somewhere, there's victory. When God is somewhere, there's favor. When God is also, when I know that He is with me, I can go ahead and say, come on. Let me ask your neighbor, what are you saying? Ask your neighbor, what are you saying? What are you saying? Came, sir. Came, we. What are you saying? What are you saying? Huh? Come, we, are we? I mean, Psalm 91, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. What's the next line there? I will say. Keeping your mouth shut is key to defeat. Did you hear me tonight? Keeping your mouth shut is a key to defeat. Keeping your mouth shut is key to defeat. He said, you will say to the mountain, hey, I got me a mountain. No. He didn't even say you will say to God. He said you will say to the mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea. You will not doubt in your heart, but believe that thing which you say will come to pass. You will have whatever you say. Huh? John is standing beside you and saying, "Untabas of God, Lord, one bow, untabas of God, blah, 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 blah." When the guy finishes, tell him, "Are you done?" The one that created worlds and created words said to me, "I have what I say." Did you hear that? Are you sure you understand what I said? In the beginning was what? The word. There's no word as powerful as that word. Now, out of your way. If you don't like the mountain, move it out. Crying isn't going to move it. Begging God going to move it. There are people doing, oh God, and they are dying. There are people doing, oh God, and they are evicting them out of the house. There are people doing, oh God, and things are not working. Crying. God, are you with me tonight? All right. I'm sure those of you listening and are having a good time as well. All right. So, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Glory to God. When he says, what do you say? All right, hold on. Yeah, I gave the answer already. When he says, what do you do? Are you ready to say something? All right? So I'll help you jumpstart it tonight. You do it on your own. And one of the things to do is faith comes how? So get the tape. I'm sorry, I haven't seen tapes in like years. Copy the message. It's on Spreaker. Download. Those of you listening, download. I mean, everybody just download, all right? Ephesians 1, 3. 1, 2, let's go. Blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessing in the... All right, hold on. So that's general language. They are put money in our bank. Oh, everybody's happy. But they put money in my bank. How does it sound? Money entered my bank. I've seen the alerts. The money is in my bank. Who knows that difference? Eh? They will pay us. We're happy. They paid me. Who knows the feeling? Who knows the difference? Who knows the feeling? Who knows the difference? So how are you going to read this one now? Come on, let's read. Blessed be God and Father of my Lord Jesus Christ, who has with how many things? Finish it. The blessing is not hanging in the market. It has a location. Where's the blessing? All right, so are you ready again? Let's go. Blessed be God and Father of my Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed me with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places. Where? Again, go. Blessed be God. You know, you're not saying it to me. You're saying it to yourself, right? And I'm saying it to God. You're saying it to yourself. You're saying it to God. So when he says, what do you do? I say. So he said, so I have to say. I can't keep my mouth shut. I have to say, blessed be God and Father, my Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed me with all spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. And because I'm in Christ, someone say, ah, that one is not there. I can add it. What gives you the right to add it? The Lord is my helper. You know where I'm going? Hebrews? Yeah. He added it. The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. Because if God is with me, then why am I afraid? He added it. He applied it. Anybody has a need that needs to be met in this place? Anybody has a need that needs to be met, a project that you need to accomplish, something you need. Oh God, give me favor. When you have blessing, you have favor. Blessed be God and Father of my Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed me with all spiritual blessing. Where? Come on, where? Are you about to be blessed? Are you about to be blessed? Are you hoping to be blessed? Are you praying that God will bless you? Come on, blessed be God and Father of my Lord Jesus Christ. He has blessed me with all. Amplify. Let me help you there.
And the Amplified connects it. All right? Because sometimes we are so spiritual about it, we might think, well, there's nothing useful on the earth on it. No, look at it. Amplified. Are you ready? Amplified Classic, please. Nana. Glory to God. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. You're reading it. Oh, okay. My mind traveled to All Grace Abounds. But let me show you that one. Let me show you that one. 2 Corinthians. Glory to God. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and 8. Thank you, Lord. Stay in Amplified, please. Thank you, Lord. All right, great. Are you ready? All right, let's read. One, two, go. God is able to make what? All grace. Explaining every favor and... So that was what I was looking for. All right. Every favor, earthly blessing to come to you how? What's the definition of abundance? Let me paint a picture. How quick can I paint this picture? Deuteronomy chapter 28 verse 2. Deuteronomy 28 verse 2. So God is able to make all grace, every favor, and earthly blessing come unto you in abundance so that you may always, under how many circumstances? All circumstances, whatever they need be what? Self-sufficient, possessing enough to require no aid or support. You know, all right, so they've taken it away. All right, hold on there. Stay there. Look at this. What does it say? Deuteronomy 28 verse 2. What does it say? All these blessings shall do what? Come on you and do what? Hey, come on. All the blessings will do what? And then what? Again. How? All the blessings will do what? Anybody picturing something already? When something comes on you, when something comes on you, all right, like they put agbada on top of you, comes on you. So blessing come on you. Is that what he's saying there? What's the next one? He says it will now do what? Even when you run, it will catch up. It will catch up. That means blessings are pursuing somebody here. Blessings are pursuing you. Keep your attention on God. This is you. Someone say, but this is Deuteronomy 28. Yeah, every blessing Deuteronomy 28 is the blessing of Abraham. And Christ redeemed you from the curse of the law so that the blessing of Abraham might come upon you. So in Christ Jesus, all blessings belong to you. That means they are upon you and they have overtaken you. Come on, somebody. You know what it means to be overtaken? You are trying to run. They chase you. Even your village people cannot run as fast as this blessing. Some of you are too conscious of village people. But it's okay to be conscious of village people. It now depends on which village. Well, from Zion, the city of the living God. So those village people are chasing us to bless us. So which village is your own? We are from the heavenly Jerusalem. That's my own village. I don't know which village your own is. I say, but my village people, they are wicked. Very wicked. You don't know my village. He that is born of the flesh is flesh. He that is born of the spirit is spirit. So which village? Stop being conscious of your natural village. Because there's a spiritual blessing you receive from heaven that natural village cannot touch. The only person that can successfully curse you is someone greater than the person that blessed you. Hear me well. The only person that can successfully curse you is the person greater than the person that blessed. My English is okay, right? I thought I mixed something up. So the only person that can successfully curse you is the person greater than the one who blessed you. The other person that can neutralize the blessing is you, with your ignorance and fear. Did you hear me tonight? The only person that can curse you has to be someone greater than the person that blessed you. The other person, and the really only person that can neutralize the blessing on your life, is you, with your fear and your ignorance. God told Abraham, I bless you. Make your name great. The person that curses you, what happens to the person? Cursed. And who is the seed of Abraham here? Then they are successfully cursing us.
So what happened to the blessing of Abraham? God says, me, I'll fight for you. Go and sleep. Oh, anybody blessed in this place? Blessed be God. Blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. What has he done? What has he done? What has he done? Is he about to bless us? Is he going to bless us? What has he done? Now this thing must be a revelation. That's why Paul, going later on, didn't begin. All right, what were the Ephesians 1? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Ephesians 1. So we've looked at 3. We just have to skip a number of places. Glory to God. Glory to God. All right, anyway, from verse 16, Paul is praying, and he says, I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you what? Spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being. So that's the point. No matter how much these things are taught, you need a revelation. It has to dawn on you. And one of the ways you can help yourself is find what has been said about you, and what should you do? Say it. Find what's been said about you. Say it. Ephesians 2 from verse 1. Ephesians 2 from verse 1. Quickly, please. Are we there? We're going to read from verse 1. So instead of reading and then we'll come back to personalize, just fire on personalized trade. Ephesians chapter 2 from verse 1. All right? Those of you listening, I believe you're ready to. Ephesians 2, 1. I got to go now. Let's go. And me has he made alive. Are you getting what I'm doing? All right? Or I as he made alive, who was dead where? In trespasses and sins, in which I once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now walks in the sons of. That already starts telling you, I am no longer one of the sons of. Are you, that's how to read the Bible. All right, walk the sons of disobedience, among whom also I once conducted myself. Past tense. So even if you are behaving like a riffraff and you are behaving like a nigger and you are confessing this yourself, if they say no, once, so once, bro, once, behave. Because you are coming back to the mirror to see who you really are. But when we walk away from this, we misbehave. Then come back to the mirror and say, no, this is me. Are you here? All right. Among whom also I once conducted myself in the lust of the flesh. I fulfilled the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And I was, past tense, by nature, the children of wrath, just as others. But God. Glory to God. Verse 4. I think you stay with your own Bibles, right? This is not as fast as I am. All right. Verse 4. But God, who is rich in his mercy because of his great love that he has for me. Thank God for his love for us, right? But I need to understand his love for who? For me, me. Say me. It's not selfish. It is not. You know, many times, illustratively, so you're in a pit with a lot of people. If one person doesn't come out first, everybody can come out. So you need to, by revelation, find your way. Then can shine light on everybody. Do you get? So you read it and read it. You're reading it. You're speaking it. You're reading it. Oh, I got it. What's that? Let me explain. But when you've not gotten it, nobody gets it. Or someone else gets it and they explain to you. So it's not selfish. All right? But God, who is rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved me, even when I was dead in trespasses, he made me alive together with Christ. By grace have I been saved. And he raised me up together. And he made me sit together in heavenly places. Where? Woo! Ha ha. I'm seated together with him. I'm raised up together with him. God is rich in his mercy towards me. He loves me so much. Because you can sing endless love and sing, Jesus, you love me too much, oh, and go home and go and be depressed. Because you sang, but you didn't have a revelation. So we need to move away from singing to knowing. You can't sing, he loves me, if you don't know. Because the singing after a while will shut up. Because the thoughts of depression, nobody loves me, everybody hates me, everybody has left me. If you know God is with you, you're fine, no? You're fine. Glory to God. So let's speak Colossians and maybe we'll end up on that. Glory to God. All right. But has it been good tonight? All right. A lot of places to read. We'll read them. Next. Okay, so we're doing February. So it's good. We'll do the whole of February too. So I'll be here all through February and then I'm done. Praise God. All right, so Colossians chapter 1,
12 and 13. Are you ready? Glory to God. We'll go at 14 anyway. Colossians 1, 12 and 13. Giving thanks. Anybody giving thanks? Giving thanks unto the Father who has made me meet to be partaker. The word meet them is qualified. He has qualified me. All right? So New King James. Oh, well, I'm looking at New King James and New King James says qualified. So qualified. Yeah, New King James. Are you ready? Want to go? Giving thanks unto the Father who has qualified me to be a partaker of the inheritance. I am a partaker. I've been qualified. You know, the devil can start showing you pictures of the things you've done in the past. How you were rude to your mommy when you were six, and how you were this, and now you were that. And he says, so you don't you think God will never bless someone that was this bad? He said, devil, that was my past. My future is better than that. Because in Christ, you don't have a past, just a future, right? So you look at where you're going and say, this is my life. Glory to God. Give me thanks to the Father who has qualified me to be a partaker of the inheritance of the saints in life. Verse 13. Most people don't like this one. What has he done? What has he done? Listen, if you stay on this verse as long as you can, and I think you should, all these verses. Who has delivered us from where? Power. I can't sleep at night. The devil is always coming to frustrate me. Read that verse 10 times before you go to bed. Read that verse 20 minutes before you go to bed. Say it again. If he delivered you from the power of darkness, how come the power of darkness is still entering your room to frustrate you? My people are destroyed. Lack of knowledge. The only person that can curse you is the one greater than the person who blessed you. The other person that can nullify this is you. Through your fear and your ignorance. So coming to church is not just I came, I marked attendance. We sang, we danced. Coming to church is you come like school to receive light, to be stirred up in the word, so that you learn how to live in absolute victory. Nobody can curse you successfully except someone greater than the person who blessed you. That's the only person that can reverse it. The person has to be greater than the one that blessed you. So, and God has pronounced blessing on everybody that is in Christ. Here again, he says you have been delivered from the power of darkness. Pastor, I think I need deliverance. Exactly from what? The number one deliverance the church of Jesus needs right here is deliverance from ignorance. Because we toy around with a lot of ignorance. And you need deliverance from it. And the way to deliver that is through knowledge. Because my people are destroyed. They lack knowledge. Meaning when you have knowledge, you're delivered. Why do you think if you want to control people, you hide knowledge from them? Because the less they know, the less powerful they are. They can't think for themselves. And that's what the devil is doing. Doesn't make us read. Doesn't make us do anything. Doesn't make us want to listen to the message 10 times. He knows if he keeps us in the dark, he will slap us blue-black and we'll be saying, oh God, what are you doing? Oh God, when are you coming? Oh God, oh God. And things are not happening in your life. And say, anyway, God's time is the best. God's time was 2,000 years ago. Did you hear me tonight? God's time was 2,000 years back. This is the day the Lord has made. 2,000 years ago, that was the day. That day was announced. It's been done. It's been finished. So stop, God's time is the best. Now is your time God is waiting for. Your revelation. When you wake up and say, it's my time. No devil can stop it. John 1 says, and the light will shine in darkness. And darkness cannot comprehend it. That's a power behind revelation. Nobody can successfully curse you except someone greater than the one who blessed you. And the only one that can thwart the blessing really is you by your ignorance and by your fear. Would rather stay with Netflix, stay with Instagram, stay with everything else except God's word. I will say, God, why are you not doing what I asked you to do? Then we'll look for quick prayer meetings so that someone will pray 13 minutes prayer and the miracle just do bosa. Is that all we like? My people are destroyed because they lack the knowledge. Go for knowledge. So sit down, learn. Get God's word. Know who you are. The greatest knowledge is what he has done for you, who he is to you, who you are in him. 90% of your prayer will wipe off. Does it mean immediately everything just becomes a bed of roses? No. No. But like Jesus, you can sleep in a storm. Because you know that once you say peace, it's still all is well. Like Jesus can speak to the fig tree, even when he's there the night, and he's there the next morning, and then, I mean, withered by the next morning, but was there that night. You're not bothered, because you know that things are changing first from the realm of the spirit. It's all knowledge. It's knowledge. It's knowledge. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Blessed tonight. Learned something tonight. Enlightened tonight. Have you been helped by this teaching? All right, blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed me with all spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, giving thanks unto the Father who has qualified me to be a partaker of the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered me, hallelujah, from the power of darkness, and he has translated me into the kingdom of his dear Son. I'm not hanging in limbo. Limbo means an empty space, just empty, void. I'm not hanging. I was delivered from and translated into. Did you get that? I was taken out of the curse into the blessing, taken out of poverty into prosperity, taken out of power. Come, anybody, get in this tonight. I'm not hanging. I was taken out of something and brought into something. And no devil can follow me there. Glory to God.
Glory to God. Could you lift your hands to heaven and give God some good praise tonight? Thank him for the word that you have heard. We are rooted and built up with this knowledge, hallelujah, in Christ Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. You want to go ahead and speak right now? Now go ahead, hallelujah. Go ahead and speak. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for your word tonight. Thank you, oh God. We receive your word. We receive your word. We gain understanding. We gain revelation. We are better, stronger by the word of God. Thank you, Father. We give you praise. We give you praise. We give you praise. Thank you, Father. Thank you for light. Thank you. Glory to God. You want to say thank you for your love? He loves us. Glory to God. He loves us. He loves us. We are loved by the Father. Go ahead and say thank you for your love. Thank you for that love. Thank you for the blessings. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Woo. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, for those online, I believe you are richly blessed tonight. All right, we're going to be receiving offerings now. Let's have it detailed on the screen.